Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Avery Moore is our guest today. Hello, Doug.
Oh, hey there.
I thought I'd start with our guest name, you know, because
threw me off.
I have ways to say hello to you. I run out of different.
Cut to the chase.
Yeah, just start with that and then say hello to you. Then we'll talk about that and then we'll start the show.
It's a solid plan.
Yeah,
I like it.
She's a funny comic out of Austin, Texas, where you are as well, Doug. And I look forward to talking to her. And if she calls John Lithgow John Lithgow, I will not correct her because I am a polite host.
Ooh, suspense.
Let's go to work. Hello, Avery Moore. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Hello, Doug.
Hello,
my two Doug friends.
It's like that 80s sitcom My Two Dads, but My Two Dougs.
My Two Dougs. Yeah.
Wow, that's like a that's a podcast someone else can start.
I won't.
That's pretty exciting. I already have exciting news in the world of Dougs. There is a premiere tonight, Broadway premiere of, can you hear that sawing going on outside my home right there?
No.
Okay, good.
The sawing.
It's so loud. It's somebody's got like electric saw and they're just going nuts on something outside. But that's how great the sound quality is on these things these days, is that, since I'm not pointing the microphone in that direction, you're not hearing it, but it's driving me insane. What were we talking about? Oh, on Broadway tonight is a new show called Gutenberg the Musical about the inventor of the printing press. And the joke is that it's a very boring subject matter for a show. And then the joke goes even further by naming one of the two main characters, played by Andrew Rannells. He's in the show with Josh Gad. And his character name, not only is his name Doug, but he wears a baseball cap with Doug written in big letters on it for I don't know how much of the show. So he went from playing a Mormon in Book of Mormon to a Doug in this thing. And so he's continuing with the more boring characters, nerdier, not nerdy. Mormons aren't nerdy, but you know what I mean? They kind of are. Anyway.
Yeah.
Excited about that Doug development, so much so that I posted a picture of Andrew Rannells in that hat on our Wide World of Doug's page account on Twitter, aka X. It's so funny to me. Like on the news now, you know, just like they used to quote Twitter all the time, they still quote it all the time. The so-and-so said this on X, formerly known as Twitter. So they're never going to stop saying the formerly known as Twitter part. Because you always have to explain, there's never going to be a point where X is like so in the vernacular that everyone just calls it that. Maybe, well, maybe 20, 30 years from now, but I don't think it's going to exist.
It's X is too nefarious. As posted on X, like, why would you do that?
Yeah,
and it used to be Twitter.
And he's just setting everybody up to say, "Oh, that was my X social media account. I don't have that one anymore."
Yeah.
You know, like referring to it as a, like an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah.
So anyway, so sorry about that sidebar, because we're here to talk to you and about you, Avery Moore. So you've known Doug for how long?
Long time, almost a decade.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Sounds about right. I moved to Austin in 2012.
Okay, where did where'd you move there from?
I'm from San Antonio. I'm from San Antonio, Texas. But yeah, I started comedy down there and then you know, moved up here. So
easy move.
Yeah, pretty easy move. Not that's too far.
That's like my move from San Diego to LA. It's like two pretty big cities that aren't that far apart from each other.
Yeah, hour and a half.
yeah, it's about 2.5-3 hours San Diego to LA these days because of
I'm a lateral traffic. Move kind of girl.
No, it really was. You just moved sideways, but you know, in the right direction. And are you a permanent Austinite, or is still maybe a step to somewhere else?
I could move somewhere else just for fun. But I sure love Austin. I've been able to carve out a nice little thing for myself and do art that I love here. So I really like it. And I love being in Texas too. I know it's terrible here, but as a proud Texan, you know, it's kind of sucks sometimes, not sometimes, all 100% of the time.
You're a proud, terrible Texan.
Yeah, but I feel like maybe I'm just making it a little sillier. Here and just make Texas just a tiny bit goofier. That's good for everybody. You know?
I think you're right. Yeah, absolutely. it's just true of everywhere these days. You know, you never know when you might make a person laugh who you wouldn't think would enjoy your comedy if you discussed politics first.
I've converted many an audience in small towns in Texas. I walk on stage and they think that they're going to hate my guts. And then at the end, we're all hugging and stuff. It's nice to convert to redneck sometimes.
Yeah, I guess ladies can do comedy.
ladies can talk on the microphone.
They done figured it out. So, speaking of the arts in Austin, during the recent Fantastic Fest, both of you that are on the show today, Doug and Avery,
I haven't participated.
Right, you participated in a Benson movie interruption of a film called Roar, and
really
changed lives when I show people that movie.
You can't stop thinking about it, Dougs.
I mean, I'm sure we told our next guest after we did it so much about Roar, but for listeners that may have not heard that episode, or maybe we've been talking about it ever since, but what was your, how'd you feel about the movie Roar? What's your capsule review of Roar?
My takeaway?
Mm-hmm.
From Roar? Let's see. You know, I've been thinking about it so much that I haven't really put it into words. It's just clawing around in my head.
Well, like, how do you bring this up to people when you want to talk about it? Nobody's seen it.
Well, I just say, have you seen Roar, the lion movie? And then they say yes or no. And then they're like, what, like Lion King? And I'm like, no, like the actress. It was Tippi, right?
Yeah, Tippi Hedren.
Yeah, Tippi Hedren, who actually owned a pride of lions and all sorts of other animals. She just said, well, I'm an actress and I've got all these animals. I should put them to use and make a film, right? And they did. They're not trained. And they tried to film like a suspense thriller in the midst of like these real, very dangerous animals. And it's one of the most heightened experiences I've ever, at one point, I don't know if you guys remember, I was choking myself. Dougie looked over and I had my hand folding around my throat and I didn't even know. I was just so balled up with suspense. But yeah, those lions really there's just a blood room, like a blood room with lions.
You got to remember, Avery, that they're just playing.
They're just playing. They're just playing with Melanie Griffith.
Showing their affection when they swipe their giant claw fist across somebody's face.
Yeah. Also, we learned that lockers are not good hiding places.
I think anything that you can be trapped in is a bad hiding place, I learned. That, like, anything that can be tipped over and then you can't open the door.
But, like, in all film, like, lockers are never a good hiding space, but especially if they can be tipped over and there's 20 lions covered in blood coming to get the teenage girl.
I think those kids that were in that movie are just used to being, you know, shoved into lockers. So it's just, you know, it came natural to them.
Yeah, at their freaky actor homeschool group.
Like, why did schools ever have lockers that were tall enough to shove people in and lock them in there? Like, that is so ridiculous.
Yeah, I think they stopped because at my high school, it was a bottom and a top level.
Yeah.
You didn't have
full body. Split it up,
so. I'm going to call them full body lockers. You didn't have full body lockers at my high school.
Yeah, those tall ones, like, what? It's not a goddamn ski school. Like, what do they have? What, like, how many trombonists are in the band?
Maybe for schools with, like, lacrosse teams or something. I don't know.
And I know that the tuba doesn't fit in any size locker because I've seen that in one of those teen movies, like Fast Times or something. Somebody's trying to put a tuba in the locker.
And you just want to yell, hey, that doesn't fit in there.
It's just like every time you fly and they try to put something overhead and you just sit there as a frequent flyer going, "That this isn't going to work."
Oh, yeah.
It's the worst. Okay, so speaking of movies, which we were, Roar's motion picture that I don't know how you can see it. It might be available somewhere, but watch it with people is what I recommend to anybody who's going to watch it. Because if you just watch it by yourself, you might just be dead by the time it's over from choking yourself.
You're going to need to talk to each other like therapists afterwards.
Yeah, if you have a heart condition, don't watch it, I would say.
Yeah. I told my therapist about it, for sure.
Your therapist was like, no, I don't want to talk about dreams. Tell me about something that really happened.
Yeah, well, enough with your dad. Just tell me about the Lion movie.
So the question for you, Avery, and Doug, feel free to answer this as well. Are you going to see the Taylor Swift movie?
No.
Probably not.
All right. In that case, we can continue. If either of you said yes, I was just going to hang up.
Yeah. I just have no interest.
Same.
So this is a good weekend then. See, I brought this up for a reason because I wanted to give everybody a tip. It feels like this Taylor Swift movie is going to be unparalleled in its popularity, at least this first weekend. So go see something else. Go see anything else, and I bet you you might even get like a private screening, or you'll certainly be with some calm individuals who don't need to see a concert movie of a concert that just finished a 50,000 city tour where every single day every audience member filmed it. You can see endless amounts of footage of this particular concert.
Professional and cell phone.
All of it.
Also, it just ended. like this isn't like Pink Floyd live at Pompeii or like this isn't some like big thing. It's just the concert. It's not like, I guess it did break records, and like Beyonce and Taylor Swift's concerts like actually perked up the economy a little bit, but which is, you know, but do I guess they would just want to keep that train rolling with this flick, you know? But I'm
that's
going to
why
I'm going to see Hocus Pocus tonight.
Yeah.
At 9:30. And there's no one there, man. I got the whole pick of the theater. So, yeah, I think you're right.
Right. You might, but also there might not be, maybe people that's more of a last minute purchase, you know, especially when they get to the theater and find out that every screen that Taylor Swift is on is sold out.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift even went on Twitter and said, there's been such an unprecedented interest in this movie that we're going to go ahead and start showing it on Thursday night, the night before it opens. And it's just like, well, first of all, why were they doing that in the first place? Because every major release these days starts showing on Thursday night. That's just how it works. Mm-hmm. But she really acted like, listen, you guys, you're so into this movie, we're going to show it early.
Yeah, she winked.
Yeah. And then she got a double wink, you know, at all the people that feel like a-holes because they got to wait till Friday to see it because they can't afford to, you know, go twice or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they have jobs or lives. But people are into this. I mean, I was into Taylor Swift, the previous tour I went and saw some shows and I enjoyed it a lot. But, you know, the ticket price just went through the roof, and that everyone is so willing to pay so much money to see her is really.
I'm not one of those like haters, but her music doesn't affect me at all. You know what I mean? Like I feel nothing when I hear it. So I'm just not going to pay to go see that. And like the dancing isn't that great, you know, like it's just kind of like sparkly outfits and a piano. And, you know, I'd rather see Elton John. So
they have fire pots. They shoot off fire. I don't know what else they do. The one I saw, she floated over the audience. Like she puts on a real show. She like changes those sparkly outfits like a dozen times throughout the thing, and it's always like she doesn't make you wait around forever for her to come back out again. You know, she's an old school showman, as they say. She even, you know, I'm sure you've seen footage of this on the internet. At one point, she dives into the stage like as an exit to go change.
Yeah, and it looks like water.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
I love stuff like that. I used to work in production, not like huge scale like that, but I worked for Texas Performing Arts for a long time and got to see big touring Broadway shows and stuff. And I just love a trapdoor, man. Ooh.
They're exciting because, you know, human error could lead to just Taylor Swift diving onto a flat stage in front of everybody.
Her head. Yes, I'm not going to say that.
There was a malfunction one night, but it was one that she didn't involve her, like, you know, looking stupid. It just didn't work right. But but that shit, yeah, that stuff is crazy. Like that show O in Las Vegas is my favorite Cirque du Soleil show, even though the music's pretty, you know, new agey and boring. I prefer like the pop, the ones that have pop music, but it's still an amazing show because the stage goes from being, you know, a flat surface that they walk on to turning into a, like a little pool or whatever that is deep enough for them to dive from very high heights and then land in. But I think it's still not that deep. I think they're just good at like hitting the water and doing like an immediate U-turn instead of hitting the bottom. And they even show at one point the water goes down and they show that there's underwater divers that are just there the whole time the water is, for safety reasons, to make sure nobody's getting hurt when they dive in. Love that. It's amazing.
Yeah.
We got to start implementing this stuff into our stand-up.
Yeah, I know. I need a hydraulic, like when Michael Jackson used to just explode out of the ground. Like, but it's just us at Cap City.
Yeah. Stand up is just so. Stand up is so basic. It's so basic and it doesn't need anything, and yet somehow those three things it does need: sound, lighting, and a stool to put your drink on. Two out of three of those could be gone at any show you do.
Yeah. They're not always there, man.
It just happened to me last night. They had a microphone. Yay. They didn't have lighting. They didn't have a place to put my drink.
Okay. Love that.
They were very nice, though. They gave me, I said, can I have a water? Meaning like just a glass or a bottle of water that I could sit next to myself because I get, you know, cotton mouth, dry mouth during my sets, and I want to be able to, you know, lube up during a an applause break or something. And they gave me the most expensive, gigantic bottle of water with a French name. Oh. And, you know, and a, it just like a tiny, you know, it's like a bottle of wine. It's like you're drinking a bottle of wine while you're standing on stage.
You look like a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a big baby holding a bottle.
Yeah, yeah. Like when you hold my those little cocktail bottles on the plane, you know.
I love my French waddle.
Gotta two-hand it.
Yeah, so refreshing.
Well, listen, Avery, we're going to talk about your name. That's what we do on this show. But before we do that, I've got some warm-up cues for you, starting with Doug's got a lot and I have not. What's your tattoo status?
I have quite a few.
Okay, let me write that down. Quite
a few.
So are you like Doug Mellard and you lost track?
What was that?
Are you like Doug Mellard and you lost track of how many you have?
Yeah, I lost track. And they're all really dumb.
Exactly like me.
Yeah. They're all really dumb.
I love them.
Let's see. Yeah, I've got Dale Gribble. I've got a squirrel playing pool. Pearl the squirrel, Earl Strickland, the pool legend. I've got a beheaded Bart Simpson. I have the skull of a koala bear. I've got a Venture Brothers tattoo. I've got Hank and Dean. I have a Steely Dan tattoo from the album Gaucho. I have a chair because I love to sit.
I love when people work their hobbies into their tattoos. It's really nice.
And under it has my nickname, which is Mr. Dog. And then I also have
Mr. What?
Mr. Dog.
Just
Mr.
The
Dog.
First name, I mean, the you're a Mr., but you're also just Dog. Mr. Dog.
Mr. Dog. Yeah, it started as Ave Dog. and then it evolved so much that I got it tattooed on me. And then I also have a Tim Duncan tattoo. I got it when he retired. And then I have Serenity Now across my entire forearm in like a Chola drop shadow script font that was supposed to be very small, but then I drank a lot and my friend Kat Barbadoro came with me and they all convinced me to get it much bigger. And now it spans my whole forearm. So yeah, got quite a few, a couple ups and down crosses as well. Yeah,
that's the best list we've had so far, really? For sure. Oh yeah. My god, by far.
I forgot about the Doobie Brothers. I have a tattoo that says the Doobie Brothers minute by minute 1978.
How big is that one?
That one's on the inside of my arm. It's not too big. It's only like 4 inches. But yeah, I got that one when I was like 17 or 18.
I love not too big, just food. Half my arm.
Yeah.
Why do you think a 17, 18-year-old San Antonio Texan was into the Doobie Brothers?
Yeah, I love Michael McDonald. And I have since I was like 14 or 15. I just really, really like him.
He does have an amazing voice. He's like,
yeah,
you hear him and it's not like he doesn't sound like anybody but himself. Like he's the most, unique.
Dynamite song. He wrote every song. You think you know who wrote them. And then you're like, what? That was Mikey McD. And it was.
Yeah. He really is like the king of yacht rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the captain. I guess I should say he's the captain.
He's the captain. Yeah, he's the captain.
But he's no Mr. Doug. I still am just enjoying a nickname that takes so much, it's so much effort to say. I mean, we'll get into that in a little bit. But first, more warm-up questions. Have you named any pets in your lifetime?
Yes. Let's see. Well, no, not my current dog, Mary Claire.
Mary Claire came with a name already.
Mary Claire came with a name. Yeah.
Is it like the magazine Mary Claire?
Uh-huh.
Spelled the same way?
Yeah.
Because it looks like Marie, right?
Yes, it looks like Marie, but it's Mary Claire. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, she's the circus. I'm writing a children's book about her, actually. Mary Claire, the circus dog. Because she does all these tricks, and she came from the streets, and we don't know where she learned the tricks. And it's not necessarily for begging or, like, because she wants food or treats. It's just to show you. It's just to get you excited.
Sounds amazing. I want to meet this dog.
You gotta meet her next time you're in town. She's an entertainer, just like her mom. I named a cat Missy Prissy Puffy Cheeks. My sister and I named a cat that when we were a kid. We had
what
a dog.
Did you call it for short?
Missy. But okay. I always just say the full name.
Missy Prissy Puffy Cheeks.
Yeah. And then we had a dog named Oso. We named him, he was like a big black bear, so we named him Oso. But I've given Mary Claire a lot of nicknames. Do you want to hear those?
Okay.
Okay. My favorite one is Baby Beef. Baby Beef, Pachoingus. BF Choings, which is like PF Changs, but it stands for best friend. those are my favorite ones for her.
Oh, okay. I thought it was gonna be as long as your list of tattoos for a second.
I do have a list like written down of them somewhere, but I can't remember them all right now. But I've mainly just been calling her little girl lately. Yeah.
That's, you know,
Mr. Nice. Dog and Little Girl.
Mr. Dog and Little Girl. Yeah. They're quite the pair. We love to watch TV.
All right. What about, so I'm guessing it's feeling like since you've been, you know, throwing extra names around for everything, for all these animals that, are you a person that, like, cars you own, you give them a name?
No.
You save it for the pets.
Yeah, I save it for the pets. Also, they're always dying, and I just don't want to, I never have, like, a solid car. So I don't want to name it and get attached to it because I know that it's going to break.
This sounds like how people talk about owning dogs.
Yeah. I can't open up my heart to a car because I know that I won't have it very long.
Yeah. And maybe that's why I've named a car or two, is just because I haven't had the opportunity to do so with pets. Even a family pet when I was a kid, got, you know, vetoed out. I don't even remember what I wanted to call it. That's how upset I was that my name didn't stick. Yeah, they went with the dumbest name. But I guess it ended up kind of establishing that we wouldn't have a great relationship, me and that dog. Because I never felt like it should have been called Chi-Chi.
Chi-Chi. Yeah, you weren't very connected with Chi-Chi.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't connected with the name. Or the dog and I only got along when everybody else was gone. You know how dogs, like, because I didn't end up feeding the dog much. It was more my mom's dog.
Uh-huh.
So the dog loved my mom, and the rest of us you shouldn't give two shits about, unless it was, you know, somewhere where you were going to step in it. Hello. it was a craps in the house dog, and it was just, you know, never loved it. It was only pleasant to be around this dog when there were fireworks happening, because she gets so scared she'd even come and sit with me. You know, she'd like come sit on my lap.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I forgot about another cat that I named. I named a cat Jenna. Like from Forrest Gump.
Yeah, but pronounced that way. Yeah.
Jenna.
Jenna. Yeah.
She was.
I'm sure. People thought it was hilarious when you'd yell for that dog.
Oh, the kitty cat. Yeah.
I mean cat. Yeah. Or do you yell for cats much, or do they just sort of come around when they feel like it?
I think that this one just kind of came around when she felt like it. But she would hide under furniture and attack your ankles. So before school, my sister and I would put on our socks and shoes. before we left our room, we didn't get to like lounge in the morning because we were afraid of the cat.
Our dog would get under the bed. It was a Pekingese poodle, and it would get under the bed and the master bedroom bed and just get just into the middle and the back so you could not reach it. But if you tried to reach it, it would, you know, it would bite you. It was
my God.
So annoying. Oh
my God. Like a little demon.
Yeah, it was a little demon. And
Chi-Chi's
a demon. But also, Chi-Chi was so dumb because, like a lot of dogs, excited for when guests come over, you know, and who's here, what's happening. And so to get her to come out from under the bed, all we had to do is ring the doorbell.
Oh, smart.
You know, someone would just go outside and ring the doorbell, and then she'd come running out and then look at all of us like, you fuckers. kind of like Spicoli when he shows up in class and says, hey, there's a party in here for me. One of the other students told him they were having a party for him. Okay. One last thing before we get on to your, you know, talking about your name, and this does involve your name a little bit. Do you have a fun Halloween version, you know, an October version of your name for like on social media and stuff?
No, I'm always Lil Miss Popovich. Like Greg Popovich. But I mean, I could be like, well, I was going to say I could be Dr. Dog, but that's a band. I don't know. I don't have a spooky version of me. I should.
What about Count Dog?
Count Dog.
Count Dogula.
Count Dogula. I love that. Okay, I'll temporarily change it to Count Dogula. that's really funny. I don't have any spooky names.
All right. That's fair. I mean, you know, I just thought it was a fun question to ask this month, but so far it's not yielding a lot of results because it's just not something everybody does, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought maybe there was more of a chance because you're a Simpsons fan and they do that to all the cast and crew.
I know. Yeah. But yeah, I only have Instagram. I don't really do a lot of social media. When I was on Twitter, I would do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Or X.
All right. Well, we're pretty deep into the show and we haven't discussed your name, so we're going to do that right after these words.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back. Let's get into it. What was it like growing up, Avery?
Well, I was the only girl Avery I met, and I didn't know another girl Avery until high school, when I met another Avery in a chemistry class. But I was obsessed with the Spurs, so Avery Johnson, the little general, right? So that's pretty cool.
On the Spurs.
Huh?
On the Spurs.
On the Spurs, yeah, the little general. And I mean, I just wanted everyone to know, like when people would ask me, what's your name? I would say Avery, and people say like Amber or Audrey. I don't know, eight. Like no one ever believes me. You know what I mean? Like
What?
I say, not that they just don't hear it correctly. They're like, I guess it wasn't a really common name when I was a kid, so people would just give me other guesses, and I'd be like, no, Avery. And then I started listing off like Tex Avery or Avery Johnson or James Avery, that Christian jewelry, just so people would have a reference. But my name means, and I looked this up very early in life, my name means leader of the elves.
Whoa.
Whoa is right, brother. Yeah. Avery means leader of the elves in in Gaelic or something. So
Do you think that makes is the leader of the elves the best elf, or is it someone who's not even an elf and just leads them? Like, could a tall person step in and like, listen, elves, I'm your leader?
that's a yeah that's a very Tolkien situation there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think I could probably step in and lead the elves. But I mean, you've gotten to know me a little bit. Dougie knows me a lot better. I am kind of like that. Like a little like a little sprightly. So I got a small little voice, and I walk around doing little silly things. So it's pretty fitting. The leader of
I know you as constantly leading elves. Yes.
leading elves to battle, leading elves to water to drink, leading elves. Yeah, all of it. And then my mom got my name from an 80s. What do you call them? Soap opera.
Oh,
It was
do you know
a
which
play.
one?
No, but it was one of the ones that was a like with fantasy sequences, and it was a dream, and she was a princess, like in a medieval dream. Maybe it was
Oh,
Passions.
it sounds like passions to
It
me.
sounds like Passions, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
But
Avery on Passions.
this was 1989, so whatever was on. But yeah,
Yeah.
she was watching it while she was pregnant, and there was this Princess Avery in some dream sequence, and she loved it. So my brother and my dad wanted to name me Sloane.
What?
Ferris Bueller?
Yeah.
No way.
That's so crazy. 'Cause then, all these several many years later when that show Entourage came out, I thought they turned around and wrecked the name Sloane because
Really?
they gave it to this girl who was like, she's an attractive woman, the actress who played her, but every time they mention her name, it's all these four dicks sitting around together going, "Oh, you got to go hang
Oh,
out with
Sloane,
Sloane, Sloane."
Sloane.
And they just kept saying Sloane so much. It was just like, oh, that
Yeah.
was kind of a cool name.
Oh, I'm addicted to Entourage, unfortunately.
Isn't it wild how watchable it is in spite of never having any jokes?
Yeah, I'm a big yes. It's crazy. The acting is the joke, right? Like
Well,
Johnny
they're all
Drama
acting
is.
like they have like the kind of lives that even, like it's so weird that an actor was playing a movie star that was so heavily thought sought after to play Aquaman, but the actor playing this guy in the TV show is not interesting at all.
Yeah,
Like he
no,
has no charisma and he's playing a movie
Vinny.
star.
Yeah, he's like a piece of like clay. Yeah.
They're acting like he's Tom Holland or something, and he's not. He's, one of the other guys in the
He's a lump
Entourage.
of clay. Yeah, I love his brother Johnny Drama.
Oh.
I just really love that character, man. It's incredibly insane. And I love the James Addiction opening.
It's very cool as a Los Angelino, and maybe for people outside of LA, that the opening titles worked all the people's names into
Into all the
cool,
neon.
cool looking landmarks
Yeah.
around, Hollywood nighttime landmarks.
Yeah.
So
Yeah,
that
that's
is pretty
Sloane.
cool.
Whatever.
The show was super slick, but like did you watch the movie when the movie came out?
Oh yeah.
We did an interruption of that, and it's pretty much as suspenseful as Roar,
Yeah.
because you just don't know when something could happen at any moment.
Going. Yeah.
Anything could happen at any moment, and then it's over. Like nothing
It's
happens the
the
entire time.
It's the most loosey-goosey like series of all time. It's like they just rolled the dice for plot points.
Yeah, the punch, the plot twist at the end of every episode is, I might not get to make this movie I want to make. Like, yeah. Anybody would care about that. Okay, so Avery is, you know, it's a name that ends in Y, so people can't do that thing, you know, they can't add a Y or an IE to it.
Yeah.
So how do people tweak it when they're, you know, being chummy?
Ave or Aves, which I really love those. I love Ave a lot. That's like my mom, like my close friends will call me Ave. I've got, I guess my name rhymes with a lot of stuff. yeah, I don't know. My friend
does
Justin
it? Hicks, oh, yeah, I guess yeah, a little
my friend
bit.
Justin Hicks called me Bravery, but he also calls me Gravy Jenkins.
I think it's like a requirement for someone who's a friend of yours to have extra names for you. Like your name,
yeah.
You have multiple names for everything except for cars.
Yeah, I love names, man. This is a great podcast to have had me on.
The first one I thought of for rhyming your name would be Savory Avery.
Savory Avery.
Yeah. I don't know why there isn't a celebrity chef with that name yet.
Well, I just haven't gotten my big break. Somebody give me a pan.
Yeah, you're just waiting for this to happen, Savory Avery.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it is, Avery is an interesting first name because, like you said, the man aspect of it, it being a first name of a lot of men, including some famous ones. There was the first one that came to mind for me, being much older, there was a comedic actor named Avery Schreiber, who was part of a comedy team called Burns and Schreiber. So, you know, he was an example. He's the guy
with
to
Jack
this day.
Burns.
What's that? Yeah, yeah. But yeah. To this day with Avery Schreiber, you see the ads he did for, I think it was Doritos. It was all about how crunchy they were. And he would take a bite of a Dorito and it would always cause some disastrous chain of events to happen. And he had a big
his
giant
mustache.
He had curly black hair and a big giant curly mustache. So
yeah,
like,
that's what I remember is he looked like Gene Shalit.
Yeah, so but he had that mustache was just a great, you know, the crunch was more clear that it was happening because the mustache was moving. And then the face he'd make with the mustache reacting to what's happening was always funny. He's on
like
Match Game. Yeah, he's on Match Game reruns all the time on Buzzr. But but another one that I saw when I, you know, Aviary is another. Do you like Aviary?
That one, I get that a lot. People go like Aviary. I go, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I guess if you're into being enclosed with birds.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, if you want to get terrified. Shit on by a bird, yeah, call me an Aviary.
Yeah,
but when I punched into IMDb, the name Avery to see what kind of actors or actresses I might be missing, a great one came up because it's a last name, though, for her. There's an actress, I don't even know if she's even acted again since this famous role she played, but Chandrella Avery played LaFonda in Napoleon Dynamite.
Wow. She's
oh, whoa.
I love LaFonda. What an honor. Thank you for telling me that.
Right?
Well, and then there's Avery Brooks.
Right. And then there's also a James Avery who now I'm starting to think maybe he's related to Chandrella Avery. Who knows?
Yeah.
But Avery seems like it's, you know, a pretty common last name and a, you know, somewhat common first name.
Yeah. And now like tons of women are named Avery. Like it's a gender neutral name now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't, like, when I first heard, you know, when I was first talking about you, I didn't think, oh, that, what an unusual name she has.
Yeah, yeah.
It made sense. Yeah. I even knew how to spell it.
Yeah.
Because you just see it all, you know, I've seen it my whole life. So what's, I mean, Avery Sloan. There was so far, it's pretty interesting. What's your middle name?
Reed, R-E-E-D. That's my mom's maiden name.
See, I knew they were going to be do something interesting with it. They weren't just going to name you Susan in your middle name, you know?
Yeah, or like Lynn, Avery Lynn. my mom, that's my mom's maiden name. So my brother and my sister and I all have the same middle name. It's Avery Readmore, Clara Readmore, and Tanner Readmore.
Yeah, well, you're the only one that your initials are ARM.
Uh-huh.
I love that.
Freaking cool, huh?
I love that. You should put your initials on your arm.
Yes, I have had that plan for a long time. I haven't pulled the trigger because...
Or put it on your leg if you want to get real crazy. Look, it says arm on my leg.
Hey, slow down. That's nuts. Calm down.
I don't have any tattoos, so I go crazy with the ideas for other people. Yeah,
that's
tattoos.
That's too much.
That's where the line is crossed.
Yeah, they're gonna put me in jail for that.
For some reason the word arm, I think it's because it's in a joke a comedian I've known for a long time used to do, and just the way he would say arm, like, it just, it's a funny word to me. I don't know if it is to most people, but
it is to me. Yeah,
I like arm. His name was John Wing, and he go, my name is John Wing. Wing is a Chinese word. It means the arm of a bird. But just the way he laid into arm, and just thinking about how birds having arms makes me laugh so much.
I really like
your arms.
Yeah, I just flew in, and boy, are my bird arms tired.
We've reached the last name, your surname, as they call it, and it's again probably one of the more common feeling last names I've experienced doing this show, and also interesting that there's no spelling deviation ever with Moore. It's always says to be M-O-O-R-E.
Yeah. My dad's name is Michael Moore.
Oh no.
You may have heard of him.
My dad was a car salesman forever. Doug, you've met my dad before, I think. He's like real Texas cowboy guy, like jeans and boots and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's Italian. He's 100% Italian. So he looks like he's in the Goodfellas, but he talks.
Howdy, meatball.
Yeah, he talks like he's from Texas, but he says, Michael Moore, no relation to the film director, when he answers the phone. But like, why would both of them be named Moore if they were Michael Moore if they were related? You know, that's not how that happened.
Well, it could be junior or senior or something. Yeah. But it is funny though, like Michael Moore is so polarizing that you have to say that to everybody because you don't want to be hated because your name's Michael Moore, and you don't want the person to just pester you about that other Michael Moore.
Yeah.
So it's just important to just get it out of the way, you know?
Yeah. And Moore is our grandfather, who turned out to not be our grandfather. On my grandmother, this is a crazy story. On my grandmother's deathbed, my nan, she admitted to having cheated on him, and that my dad's dad is not really his dad. So we're not Moors. We're not related to them at all. But we carry on the name. Yeah.
What other name could you have? Is it inaccessible?
We could have. He almost changed it to my non's maiden name, which would have been DeFazio.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Moore was the right.
Yeah, I think in the '60s in San Antonio, Texas, it was probably better.
Oh my God! I can't even. A Southern and Italian accent at the same time would be bizarre.
Yeah.
I'm Avery DeFazio.
I'm a Rootin and a Tootin.
Yeah. Well, you got so many Moors to choose from with
Mary Tyler.
Like famous people who are famous while you were growing up. Like you probably missed the whole Dudley Moore train, but Mary Tyler Moore.
I love Dudley Moore.
Oh, okay.
The original Santa Claus, the one with John Lithgow, and Dudley Moore plays the elf. That's what my maybe in my top 10 films.
Well, that's because you just naturally want to lead elves.
Yeah.
And so
Oh, great.
anyone that plays one.
Wow. This is better than therapy.
Yeah, your therapist is probably not looking for humorous connections and callbacks while you're trying to tell your story.
I wish you would.
She's not taking the kinds of notes I'm taking.
No, she's not.
She's writing down like things to pick up later on the way home from
Uh-oh.
work.
She's like, uh-oh. Mandy Moore, right? Yeah, A Walk to Remember. Mandy Moore.
Thurston.
Thurston Moore. Yeah.
Who's that?
Sonic
Sonic
Youth.
Youth.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
Oh, I think
Mr.
he's
Screwdriver on the guitar himself.
in the Guinness Book of Records for longest screeching sound.
Oh, that rules. I love noise.
I've seen Sonic Youth in concert, and it's like sometimes 10 minutes of that shit.
Yeah,
Just making noise.
it rules. Yeah. I am into that. Let's see, other Moores. I mean, Mary Tyler Moore is my favorite Moore.
Right, that's a huge one. And the Avery kind of slides into Mary Avery, Tyler. It's all like of a piece. Like it's got a similar, I mean, Avery Reed
It's also a sentence.
Avery
Avery
Reed
Reed
Moore
Moore.
just sounds like you are being told that you're not educated enough.
Yeah, that was a joke that was made a lot in my elementary and middle school years.
How do those little rascals find out your middle name? Isn't that something that doesn't really come up much?
No, I'm a nerd, and I would
Oh,
write it all out.
okay.
If people ask me what my name is, I say Avery Reed Moore. And it's not my fault. It just comes out. I used to actually my I would go by Avery Reed Moore. And now my stage name is just Avery Moore. But there's old
It
billing in
sounds
my folder.
classy.
It sounds very classy, right? Yeah.
Yeah. No, it really
Yeah.
sounds like a really fancy, classy person's gonna
Yeah, and then
come
I just go up on
swooping
stage and start farting, and everyone's like, "What?"
Okay, read less. So
Oh yeah, read less.
I like to do a, we're running out of time, but I like to do an anagram of our game, our guest's name, whatever our guest name is. I try to find the best replacement words, if you will, using the exact same letters.
Okay.
You have to use every letter for an anagram to count, so I'm using every letter. And of course I didn't know Reed before, but that would really add some interesting wrinkles to this. But for just Avery Moore, the anagram I came up with that I liked the most, there were a few that just didn't make any sense. This one barely makes sense, but more than the others. And it goes like this: My Oreo Rave.
That's awesome.
Could be like a band name.
Yeah, my Oreo rave. Yeah,
Or
that's
just could be an event that you decide to throw, just
I like that a
everybody
little
gets
more.
fucked up on Oreos.
Yeah, it sounds like a mid 2000s emo band. My Oreo
I
rave.
just was so excited that the word Oreo was even in there. I was just like, I've got to work with
I
this.
love that. And Oreo rave. There's just DJ booths, and then there's big vats of milk, and everybody just dips into the milk. Yeah.
I got excited also about potentially working the word roar into this because you do have the letters for the word roar,
Okay.
but the best I could do there was roar my Eve, which I don't know what that means.
Roar my Eve.
Like just
Oh man. Oh, it's like
only
don't.
growl at nighttime,
Yeah,
please.
it's like don't yuck my yum, don't roar my Eve.
Yeah. I love
Don't
it.
release a bunch of bloody lions
Named
at
Gary.
my evening party. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Avery Reed Moore, you completed the survey successfully, and now you get to do your plugs. What would you like to plug?
I would like to plug that I have my first record coming out on Sure Thing Records at the very end of October. My group, the McEwans, and I, it's my friend Mike Wiebe and I, we're going to be over at Fest in Gainesville performing with all the punk rockers. So if anyone's out next week, come on and check us out.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
those are great plugs.
Yeah.
Just Instagram.
Yeah, Lil Miss Popovich for Instagram. Yeah, the McEwans are really special to me. You guys, it's my fake Christian married.
So funny. So
Doug's a big fan. And the McEwans are a big fan of Doug. So we have a TikTok that's very fun. We've gone viral a couple times. So check out our Christian message.
How do you spell it?
McEwans. It's a real Scottish name that we just took out of nowhere.
Oh my God.
We met in a production of Brigadoon, but it was a Christian school, so it was Brig God Dune. gross, right? So yeah, we're yeah, but check this out.
And what's the album gonna be called?
It's Avery Moore Live at the Ballroom. I recorded it in January of 2020 before the world shut down. And I'm finally putting it out because I wasn't going to, but it was a really nice night, and I just think I should share it with everybody.
You know what elves appreciate when they're standing around with a bunch of tall people?
Huh?
Ballroom. All right, so step back. Give us some ballroom. Doug, do you have anything to plug?
Yeah, this will be easy because they're all at Cap City Comedy Club here in Austin, Texas. This next week, I believe Avery will probably be on the show. There's a yearly thing called the Comedy Seance where we all have to perform as dead celebrities. So it's always a really fun, weird night. You should come on out to that next Tuesday, the 17th. And then I'll be at Cap City Comedy Club with you on the 24th. That's going to be super fun. I believe it's a Tuesday. And I'll be headlining the Red Room at Cap City on November 2nd.
All
come
right.
Check those out.
Just everybody, just buy
just
like
hang
a
out
season
there.
Pass to Cap City.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Doug and I are there a lot.
They should have a comedy pass over there because, like, they do have so many great shows, but, like, some people, you know, would prefer a little bit of a break if they're coming to all of them, you know?
Yeah.
Run it by the folks, the nice folks at Cap City. I'll be there for two nights doing stand-up one night and Douglas Movies the next on the 24th and 25th of this month. All of my dates and details are at douglasmovies.com. And before we let you go, Avery, one last question that I sprung to my mind during this because of your actual familiarity with Dudley Moore, I feel like people have sort of lost touch with Dudley Moore, that his movies are kind of problematic these days, so people aren't paying as much attention to them.
Yeah.
But what would you say is your favorite Dudley Moore movie?
It's the Santa Claus. But I like I can quote.
What do you like about what do you like about this Santa Claus movie? Because I watched it a few years ago and it was pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's absurd. it's just the absurdity of it. Like John Lithgow is just so angry, just seething, just so mad the whole time at all the children and at his niece who has done nothing. And it's really beautiful. I just love how like the color scheme is so 70s and good. And I love the workshop. Yeah, it's just the Christmas thing for me, man. I'm a Christmas head, bro. And the music is so bad. I love all of it. So I like it because it's bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great entryway into the all the talents that Dudley Moore had in addition to being a shorter individual with a little bit of a limp. But
Arthur,
I've dedicated.
That's on his tombstone. The limp.
Perbatim. You like it when people say perbatim instead of verbatim. It's always a sign of intellect. We name every episode like a pun that I try to come up with, or we all come up with it during the course of the show. And I think I've got a perfect one for this one. So thank you again, Avery. Thank you, Doug. We'll talk to everybody next week. As always, Dougley Moore.